I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery, and Sam Farnsworth from KSL TV has now joined us. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah, what do you have there?
Well, Sam, welcome. It's more for Sam, yes.
Yeah.
So this is a question for you, Sam.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I think so.
All right.
So I've got my hand on the buzzer.
Yeah. If I were you, I wouldn't be ready.
This is a thing, and I know Alex believes in this theory here. I'm just curious of your thoughts. So when you're a Jazz fan, mm-hmm. or you're a Broncos fan, mm-hmm. and your team that you're watching and cheering for, they are not playing well.
Mm-hmm. I think I know where you're going.
What do you do in this situation? Do you walk away? Do you stick it out? What is
there's a real answer there. I'm waiting to see if you get the right answer.
What is it that you do in that situation?
So I'll preface it by saying, having been in this career long enough, I've been able to successfully, to a point, separate my emotions from my fandom a little bit. Not 100%, but a little bit.
I'm not talking about when you're at work.
Right.
You're there with your kids watching the game
right.
on TV.
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right. Okay. So let me tell you.
It's got to be one or the other.
So if I can tell you, if my team's doing well that I'm watching and I'm cheering for, it's like I don't even move. I stay in the exact same spot I'm sitting in. Or I remember watching a game several years ago. I won't say what game it is because I'm trying to not express too much of my fan colors here. Yeah. But I remember watching a game several years ago when I lived in Colorado, and I stepped into my living room, turned on the TV, started watching the game, and almost immediately there was a really good play. And so I stood there for an entire football game in my living room.
So you're watching the Broncos.
Didn't move.
Broncos, Seahawks, Super Bowl.
And,
what was that?
No, it wasn't that.
Wasn't but a good play for you guys, by
Tuesday
the way.
Tuesday night, my kids were up very late. They're out of school now. They don't care. And I was getting a little irritated because the Jazz weren't playing well. And I'm like, guys, you guys.
Go to bed.
You all need to go to bed right now.
This is so late. And how dare you? If the Jazz are up by 20, you're like, everybody, popcorn.
Exactly.
Let's get going.
Exactly. So that was kind of the situation. But they ended up sticking it out, and it was a good night, a good memory for us.
So you'll hang in there with the team when they're playing.
Oh, yes. I will always. I won't walk away from a game.
Scott
I won't
away.
Leave a stadium early. I will not turn a game off. Even when it stinks.
I walk away.
Scott walks away. And
not because I want to walk away.
No.
It's actually it's a responsibility.
Like
it's
for your health.
No, it's not a health thing.
It's superstition.
It's if the team's going to win.
Right. You can't be a part of this.
I can't be a part of it right now. So being a good fan, I walk away. I calm things down, and I don't watch anymore.
Scott also goes a step further. He won't tune into the next game for a little while either.
And
he'll
it's a real
into
thing.
Like the second half.
It's a real thing.
He's that guy. Well,
and guess what?
It works?
Well, Tuesday kinda. I walked away. Yeah. You
okay.
tell me.
Good. Yeah.
You
Good.
Tell me.
That's the thing
Good.
Is that I definitely know that Scott was watching that game, or we were watching it over here on the plaza,
right.
and we're doing our show, and we're watching the 0 for 21
oh,
unfold in front of us.
No kidding.
And then we just have to go, anyway, why don't we go ahead and talk about the Tennessee Titans pick up Julio Jones this week. Like, we were.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
I mean, it was just, we're watching it, we're going, oh, my gosh. And you don't want to say the Jazz are so terrible right now. I mean, you don't want to say it. But when I got home and I turned the thing on and the second half had started up, I went, okay, something's different here. Something's going on. There was an energy. Everybody talked about that second half defensive energy that really led to, I think that it led to everything turning around. Mm-hmm. It led to the Clippers being totally worn down. They were, you know, whatever their level of discomfort was or fatigue of going, you know, that game seven and then having to turn around and come back to Utah. I don't buy that. They do 2 days of rest and go travel all year long. And they're like,
They had to be at altitude.
At altitude. Yeah, I don't like the altitude. Game seven. Yes, I don't care. It's like, I know it wears on you. It gets tiring. But these guys do this day in, day out.
Yes.
So what's the excuse tonight? Because, and how is it that the Jazz were able to turn that on? What's the second half? What's the halftime speech that makes it to where everybody ratchets up that energy?
I mean, I don't know if there is a specific halftime speech that does that. I think these guys on this Jazz team, we've seen it multiple times throughout this year where they just know. They know at halftime, guys, this isn't good enough. We have to be better. And Donovan was he was the image of that on Tuesday night. And 16 points in the third quarter, 16 more in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was ridiculous. And when you play good defensively, Quinn says it all year long, and you just pointed it out, Alex. When you play good defensively, this Jazz team, it trickles over to the offensive side too. And you saw it playing off of Donovan's hot offensive side, going back to the defensive end, and Rudy dominating and altering shots and blocking shots, and they're stealing balls and creating turnovers. It just, everything started flooding in the right direction. And I think that's just how good this Jazz team is, that they can go suffer through an 0-for-20 stretch and still win. And if they can do that, imagine if they don't have an 0-for-20 stretch.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You'd like to think that tonight would be, you know, a 15-20-point win. But
obviously you're not going to get the same. We're talking with Sarah Todd last segment, and she's like, yeah, I don't think Kawhi is going to be as flat. You know, you can't expect that their superstar is going to come out flat. And then she stopped there and moved right on, and I thought, oh, yeah, we kind of expect Paul George to be flat these days. Like, he just has not been performing.
I don't know that I would expect
that. Why would you?
Because he's a good player, and he's gone so long without actually playing well.
And Joe Ingles said that he doesn't have this, like, off on the rivalry with him and Paul George. That was he was playing with the Thunder. Well, he said it was more of a Clippers Jazz thing more than it was he and Paul George specifically. But this is one of those where I'm like, I want to know if the Jazz can turn the corner here, because if they can get a game two win, it would be a lot different. It would be so much of a different feel from the last series.
Yes.
Going down to LA up 2-0. They need this game big time.
In Utah Jazz playoff history, 8 times they've started a best of 7 2-0, right? And all 8 times they've advanced.
Wow.
So, you know, you can say what you want. They were up 3-1 last year and lost. You know, you can say what you want. And there's never a guaranteed moment where the series is over until game 4 is won, right? But historically speaking, it's a good situation to be in when you're up 2-0 in a best of 7 series, whether you're the Jazz or not. So you have to know the Jazz know this. They know that defending home court, going 2-0 over the Clippers heading to LA is big time.
It's huge.
Big time.
So Rudy Gobert, 3-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. And the Jazz have a victory in that first game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see this team getting what kind of things would get this team laxed or overconfident? Because I think that's one of the challenges. Do you see that happening with this team in this series and even tonight?
It's hard for me to see that happening with this team. And it goes. I still have the burned in my memory banks. Donovan's face. Early this season, and it might have been preseason still, when he was talking about it is unacceptable for them to lose, you know, that 3-1 lead to the Nuggets. It's unacceptable. It's not going to happen again. Not only that, but we have much bigger plans than even just a first round win. And so I see that face and that confidence and that determination in Donovan's face, and I feel like I've seen that in every player on this team for the most part. I don't think there's ever been a moment this season where they've just kind of lollygagged into a game and been like, you know, and I know they've had some bad performances, But those were just off nights. It wasn't like they were out there just kind of throwing in the towel. You know, we can take it easy this night. I haven't seen that from this Jazz team this year, and I don't expect to see it.
I'll tell you one of the things I've seen. The intensity has picked up.
Yeah.
Like, I really wondered if the Jazz
could... It's playoff intensity, right?
Right, and I really wondered if the Jazz had that in them. That, you know, I was like, because you saw Derek Favors during the season, and he was playing at a certain level,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden that level's gone up. Joe Ingles
That's
has
a
gone
veteran
up.
Thing,
Jordan
right?
Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, I think it is.
All of that has really intensified from the Jazz, and it's one of those pleasant surprises for me that I didn't, you know, because you're kind of like, okay, maybe the Jazz, their top level is just regular season
right.
best record, and they can't up their game in the playoffs, and you've seen that yeah. from this team.
There's one Jazz player I can think of in recent history that I never saw that increase in intensity. Gordon Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
And
just, you know.
Did he play for the Jazz?
When they were in the playoffs during his time,
I
didn't see that.
He was just here for like a season.
I told you that somebody posted, was it you that posted your brother and posted that picture?
Yeah.
Somebody had a Gordon Hayward jersey, and instead of Hayward, it was Squidward. SpongeBob.
Yeah.
On the back. That's how you get your most. Don't burn your jersey. Make it into something else. All right, Sam. Have fun over at the game.
Thanks.
Or at least do some work
Loud.
Over the game, would
Big
you?
Crowd.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We'll take the break here. We'll come back. News traffic weather right now. We've got more to talk about right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.